Well, just before I start, I don't know about you, but it feels like there's a bit of a theme this morning. I just wonder if you would just join with me, just put your hands on your eyes this morning. I believe that God wants to show us some things this morning. He's going to reveal some stuff to us, and it feels like we are in a place where that is what God is doing for us this morning. As we've worshipped and as people have brought some things that God is speaking to us, let's just believe in faith. Father, as we lay our hands on our eyes this morning, I just in us. And Lord, we recognize there is something very significant about the things that we see, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And my prayer is this morning that you'd open our spiritual eyes to see the things that you have for us, that you're revealing to us this morning. And as I speak, God, I pray that you would open our spirits, that you'd reveal things to us. You cause our spiritual eyes to be open. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. I want to speak to you this morning, following on from what we were talking about last week. I want to talk this morning about living a life of honor. And just to catch us up and bring us onto the same page, last week, if you were here, Claire was talking about what it means to live a life of gratitude. And this whole idea of what things look like is very important, because actually what we're describing as we're thinking about some of these things is what could it look like? What could I see of myself or of us as church? In what does that look like to live a life of whatever? And last week we were talking about living a life of gratitude. And Claire said that one of the things that gratitude does is gratitude shifts your focus from what your life lacks to the abundance that is already present. And I love that. Because actually, if we can build that into our day-to-day living, then it can be transformational for what we think and what we look like. And there's lots of benefits, of course, to living a life that is of gratitude. And we talk about the difference between, well, just being grateful people. That's good. That's a great start point. But we're talking about something which is beyond that. We're saying, well, what could it look like to not just be grateful people, but be people who live a life of gratitude? You might say that sounds impossible. You might say that just sounds a little bit over the top. But of course, the God that we serve is an over the top God. A God that we serve, the God that we worship, is an over the top, beyond type of God. So actually, that's why we paint these pictures and say, what could it look like for us to live a life of gratitude? And Claire said there's lots of benefits living a life of gratitude. Some of them are up there. I love the one that says it makes you better, not bitter. It reminds me of that little phrase, Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said the butter's bitter. I don't know why I'm telling you that. But it's, when I read that and it says it makes you better, not bitter, it made me think of Betty Botter. I don't know her personally, but what am I talking about? Anyway, Betty, it makes you better, not bitter. That's what living a life of gratitude does. And I don't know about you, but actually I want to live a life that is better and not bitter. Anybody else? And one of the other things that living a life of gratitude means is that we will live a life that honors God. And that's what I want to link and connect with this morning. I want to talk about what it looks like, what it could look like for us as individuals, for us as church, to live a life of honor. And of course, these things are very much connected, because honor is always rooted in celebration. If you think about what honor looks like, you'll know that there is a connection between the things that we celebrate, the things that we're grateful for, and also and the whole principle of honor. And celebration and gratitude, if you think about it, they're kind of like best friends, or if they're not best friends, they're very close friends. Because if you celebrate something, then they're the things that you're grateful for. And if you're grateful for something, then they're likely to be the things that you celebrate. And last week, one of the things that Claire talked about was the fact that it's very difficult, or I think she said impossible, to be grateful and grumpy at the same time. If you are grateful, it pushes out the whole feelings of ungratitude and ungratefulness, because you can't be both at the same time. And I think it's kind of the same kind of thing with honor. If we can put honor first and foremost in our lives, then actually the things that we would dishonor have to be, therefore, moves to one side. There's different definitions, of course, of what honor means. And I think one of the simple, but probably one that is really helpful is this. Honor means to value highly or esteem highly. So to honour someone is to value him or her highly, or to bestow value upon a person. And honour is often seen through our actions, but honour is firstly revealed in the attitude of our hearts. And in Ashwood Church, honour is one of our core values. It's one of the things that we are passionate about, and it's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be able to talk about it for a few minutes this morning. So living a life of honour, I've got five keys or five principles that are from the Bible that we can apply to ourselves. And I guess some of these things may be things that are very familiar to us, but as with most things that are familiar, you know, it's true that it's not what's new that sets you free, it's what's true that sets you free. And as we talk this morning, hopefully I'm going to be talking about things that are true. So maybe they're things that are familiar to us, and if that's the case, then great, let's apply them to our lives, let's allow our spiritual eyes to be open. If there's for some of us in this room this morning, they may be things that are totally new, and let's listen carefully and see what God has to say to us. So five principles, and the first one is this, honour your parents. The Bible is so clear on this. In fact, it's so important that it features in God's top 10. The top 10 commandments in the Old Testament in Exodus. And it's underlined by Jesus and also the Apostle Paul when he's writing to the people in Ephesus. Ephesians 6 talks about children and parents. So if you're a child here this morning, then you listen to this because this is relevant for you. It says these words in Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honour your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Some great advice there for parents, great advice there for children. And not just advice, but it's a spiritual principle that helps us to live the way that God intended. So here's the instruction, here's the guidance, but notice the positive consequence that's in this phrase. It says that if when there's ever there's an if, you know that there's going to be a consequence, don't you? So what we're saying here is that honouring fathers and mothers has a direct connection with God's blessing on us and on living well. And of course, I said that if you're a child, this is relevant for you, but there's no upper age limit on this. So it's a principle when you're young and living at home, and there's some people who are in this room this morning who are living at home with a parent or with parents, and of course it's very true there. You often hear parents talk to their kids and sit them down and say, well, here's something that you should know. If you don't know anything else in the Bible, make sure you know these words, obey your parents. That's what it says in the Bible. Have you ever heard parents who've sat their kids down and said that? Well, actually what we're reading here is that there is a connection between honouring, Joel, did you get that? Good, just checking. There's a connection between honouring our parents and the blessing of God. And that's why it says this is the first commandment that comes with a promise. Basically, if you honour your father and mother, then things will go well for you, that we get to receive God's blessing for us. And it's interesting, of course, it doesn't say honour good parents. It just says honour your father and mother. It's worth noting as well the difference between honour and respect. A Christian leader in America, Craig Groeschel, says, "Respect people have to earn, but honour is a gift that you give freely." I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but respect is something that people have to earn with us, isn't it? You know, we respect people because of who they are and because of what they've done. And actually, there is something very similar between honour and respect. There's lots of things where we could look at those words and think, yeah, there are some similarities. But actually, there is a fundamental difference. And this is a really key point for us if we want to learn how to live a life of honour. That honour is a gift that we give freely. That it's not actually something that is earned. So none of us are or have perfect parents. Everybody agree with that? Any perfect parents in the room this morning? Perhaps you'd stand up. Anyone who had perfect parents? I'm pleased to say that I had the next best thing, very close to perfect parents. One of them is here, right here this morning. I honour her. Why don't you stand up for a moment? Or no, is that embarrassed, sir? I'm not sure. We won't do that. But there is none of us are or have perfect parents. But the honour that we give reflects our attitude towards the value we place in who our parents are or were rather than what they did or didn't do. And for some of us, maybe there is something that needs to be adjusted in our thinking. Of course, that's not necessarily easy. Some of us have had difficult childhoods, maybe grown up with challenging family circumstances. But I believe that it's still true that this principle works. And we could, of course, talk about honour in the family, not just parental relationships, but honour within marriage, the Bible talks about as well. Wives and husbands honouring one another. It's a great way to live. So, honouring parents, principle number one. Principle number two in the Bible, honour those in authority. Interesting and maybe topical at the moment. I don't know who you think about as when I say authority. There are some authority figures in our world, aren't there? Some of them, you have to fly across the Atlantic and see, and it'd be interesting this morning, maybe topical, to talk about what it means to, what we would have, we could have some interesting discussions if we talked about people in authority this morning, wouldn't we? We won't do that. But this group that the Bible talks about, that talks about showing honours, honour includes those who have authority over us. I'm not going to read all of it, but in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, Paul explains that God, in his sovereignty, has placed people in positions of leadership on the earth, on this planet. And in this context, verse 7 says these words: give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. And this translation, you'll notice, distinguishes between respect and honour again as well. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honour the King. In other words, those people who are in authority. The Bible, again, the Bible doesn't say honour the king that you agree with, does it? Doesn't say honour the prime minister who has the same political views as you. In fact, it's interesting, this passage where Peter is speaking, at the time, the rulers of the day were locking Christians up, imprisoning them for life or feeding them to lions. So Peter probably wasn't saying, I agree with everything that happens. The political views of the rulers in our land at the moment, he pretty much, well, I'd be surprised if he was saying, I agree with everything that is being done at the moment. And yet he still highlights this as a principle that we should put into practice. Honour the king. And we're supposed to show honour not just to powerful people in government, but to all of those who are in authority over us. This applies throughout. So what does it mean? It means that if you're a student, honour your teachers. It means that if you're a teacher, honour your head teacher, I guess. It means that if you play sports, honour the coach or the trainer. If you work, honour your boss. Even if you believe deep down that you're smarter than your boss, this principle is still true. And of course, remember that respect is earned, but honour is a gift that's freely given. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with absolutely everything. In fact, often it means that you probably don't agree, but there is this principle of honour. And maybe as a quick aside, for those of us who engage with social media, people who like posting things on Facebook and Instagram, let's make sure that as well as, I don't know about you, I'm grateful for spell checks on my when I'm typing stuff up on email and things like that. Anyone else grateful for spell checks? My spelling is reasonable, but I am still grateful for a spell check. Well, I was thinking about people who, those of us who post things on Facebook, how about having an honor check? So that before you post something on Facebook, you have this honor check, which just checks that there is nothing dishonorable about the things that we're going to post. I have a sneaky feeling that there might be a reduction. If there was an honor filter on Facebook, there might be a reduction in some of the things that get posted on there. Just saying. Just a thought. Let's make sure that there is honor. And of course, honor is something that's reflected in our actions, but it starts in our hearts and in our attitude. Is that okay? Third key. So honor your parents, honor those in authority. And the Bible says, honor church leaders. 1 Timothy 5 says, the elders, or we could say leaders, who direct the affairs of the church well, are worthy of double honor. Now, this morning you could say, well, maybe I should miss that one out. It's a bit cheeky, you know, talking about honouring church leaders when I am one of them and I'm standing in front of you. But I don't want to rob you of the truth of what it says in the Bible. And if this is an important principle, it's just true and it's in a principle anyway. So we talk about it. And actually, as thinking about this, we don't actually talk about leadership that often. The reason for that is because our model of leadership and the way that we treat leadership within church is very much to do with serving. And most serving takes place behind the scenes, away from platforms, away from microphones. But today, and in the context of honouring leaders, and this is kind of a bit of an aside, but I wanted to share with you something about leadership in terms of Ashwood Church. So just hold these thoughts for a moment. But in the context of honouring leaders, I just wanted to just communicate something to you that we are developing within the church. Because in Ashwood Church, we believe that there are many, we consider that we have many great leaders, people who serve in many different capacities with many different responsibilities, and we are genuinely grateful to God. We have a number of different groups within the church that involve leaders. And some of you will know this, but the reason I wanted to share it this morning was just so that it's clear for everybody. If you're new to Ashwood Church, these may not be things that you have come across before. So we have a number of different groups within the church that form our leadership. And one of those groups is what we call our Ashwood Wider Leaders, our Wider Leaders group. And this is a group, probably 35, 40 people. And it's a group of people who help to carry the responsibilities of leading people and leading teams within church. Many of those people lead or support our life groups. Others lead in specific areas of activity or lead teams within the church. And in fact, just to help us, if you're part of that Wider Leaders team, why don't you just put your hand up so you can see the people. So you can see there's a number of people who are part of that team. That's great. Thank you. And obviously a bunch of people as well who aren't with us this morning. And alongside that, we have what we call our discipleship and care team. And this is a team who watch over our vision as church to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. And this team watches over the care and support of everyone connected to Ashwood Church across for the young, from young to older. And so it looks to ensure that everyone who considers themselves part of Ashwood Church, connected to Ashwood Church, is able to grow and develop their spiritual relationship with God. And this discipleship and care team has people who basically watch over that and oversee it. And if you're part of the discipleship and care team, again, really for the benefit of people who might not know this, could you just stand up just so that we can see who this discipleship and care team is? So people who watch after our young people, our kids. Esther Ransom is part of the discipleship and care team. She's out with the kids this morning. Neil and Lucy looking after young people. People looking after our life groups, the pastoral care in the church, the care and support, and the overseeing of what happens in terms of spiritual health. Thank you. You can sit down. And some of the people on this discipleship and care team, this is really just for information, some of those people are part of our staff team, so they work in a capacity that's employed by the church. Some of them are volunteers. And alongside those people on the discipleship and care team, who are part of our staff team, there are three other people who are part of our staff team as well. So Kirsty and Louise work for the church, do a fantastic job in terms of our community work and all the activity that takes place, connecting with the community, and Lisa Boots, who I think might be out with the kids as well, who does a fantastic job of looking after our finances. So we believe that we're in a really good place with this wider leaders group and the discipleship and care team, but we're always looking to strengthen ourselves, to grow and to increase our capacity. And over the last couple of years, as we've thought and we've prayed and also received encouragement from a number of people within the church, that we felt it would be really healthy and helpful to put to add to this leadership structure what we call a senior, what we're going to call a senior leadership team. So we wanted to let you know this morning, we communicated this with the wider leaders earlier in the week on Wednesday, so they already know this information. But we've invited Dave Ransom and Zoe Bell to join with Claire and I to form a senior leadership team. In fact, Dave and Zoe, if you'd just like to stand up, you've met Zoe this morning, so don't really need to introduce her again. This is Dave, for those of you who don't know who Dave is. You can give them a little round of applause. The purpose of a senior leadership team is, we believe, is three things: to provide oversight of the church, to help us with vision and strategy, and to equip, empower, and release leaders to help more and more people find and follow Jesus. I think was the one before that, Stephen, maybe. Yeah, that one. So this is the purpose. This is what we were setting about. So some things that this team won't do, but this is the purpose that we believe that we'll be aiming for with this senior leadership team. And just to say a couple of things about leadership itself, we believe that leaders should be servant-hearted, have a calling from God for leadership, be a good role model, and have godly character. And these things are just a number of the things that are in line with what we believe leadership looks like in the Bible. So there's some verses there that very much point to these areas. And of course, we believe that we have lots of great leaders who fit these kind of criteria and qualities, but this is what we're looking for, and this is what we're thinking about when we talk about leadership. So this is what we believe leadership looks like. And just to say something quickly, that leadership in church can be very different from leadership in secular organizations. There are some similarities, but there are also some differences too. We believe that within church, we choose to recognize those who have a calling from God to lead and to carry an authority under God to serve his church, with no ambition for personal gain, but to see the church become more and more fruitful and God honored and glorified. Those of you who recognize leadership within secular organizations, there are similarities, but there are also some differences. So hopefully that's clear. Also wanted to say something about accountability. Proverbs 15 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And if you read the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, it's very clear that God's process for us shaping plans and hearing from God is to get input from other people, not to live in isolation, but to welcome the advice and the input from individuals. And we believe that that is a really healthy thing to do. So I know there are people in this room who are when you're making significant life decisions, that you welcome the input and wise counsel from people who either know in a specific area something that is wise, or they're people you recognize with spiritual maturity who you welcome to have input and advice into your lives. We believe that as well as that being healthy and helpful for individuals, that we also want to do that as church as well. And we're part of the ground level network, so on an informal basis, we've often done that. We've often invited people to bring input and advice and wisdom, people from outside the church, as we've shared plans and asked for their observations and support. But we also wanted to put something more formal in place in this next season, which we think is healthy for us as leaders, but also as church. So what we've done and what we're going to put in place is we've invited four people at this point in time to act as what we're calling a council of reference for us. They're people that we respect with wisdom and discernment. They're people who have experience of church leadership over many years. And this council of reference won't have formal authority over us, but there'll be people that we can talk through future ideas to gain wisdom and input as trusted friends. They'll also act as kind of spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. And if we ever got into a serious difficulty as church, maybe a church split or moral failure, then these are the people that we would call on to help us to navigate through that kind of circumstance. We're certainly not expecting anything like that, but it's a healthy thing, healthy place for us to be. We're also not naive enough to know that things that we wouldn't want to happen could happen, and so we want to make sure that we are in the right place. So at this point, right now, we've asked Gary and Pam Pilkington, Molly Bell, and finally Steve Wendells, who some of you will know is the leader of Riverside Church. He's also the leader of the Ground Level Connection in the Midlands that we are part of. And we include Steve because of his love and his support for us as church. He knows us very well, but also recognizing that he is kind of like our apostolic input and overseeing the relationship that we have with the ground level connection. So with both this and the new senior leadership team, we don't see these as roles for life, it's worth saying. And if we think we need to change something, then we certainly will do that. Actually, this puts us in a great place, these steps for the next season as church together. And it's a lot of the things that will happen behind the scenes, but it's important that we communicate and share those things with you, which is why we are including it. That's why I'm talking about it this morning. And Steve Wendells, he's actually with us in a couple of weeks' time. He's coming to speak in Ashwood. So while he's here, we're going to ask him to pray for us as church in the next season. We believe these steps are good for the future of Ashwood. And if you have any questions or any thoughts on that, then please come and speak to one of us. We'd be happy to answer any of those questions. Okay, so hopefully that is clear. We believe it's really healthy for us as church. So in terms of honour, three principles: honour your father and mother, honour those in authority, honour for church leaders. And the fourth one is this: honour one another. I guess in a sense you could have saved some time, because honour one another is quite a catch-all that includes everything. But one of the things that we read about in 1 Corinthians is a passage where it describes the church as parts of a body. And I love the way that the Message paraphrase puts it. It says this: what we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or the head telling the foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice it works the other way around. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. And this is the important bit. You give it dignity and honour just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Interesting way of putting it. But you get the point. The idea is that actually, if we are to honour one another, which this passage talks about, that actually it's not a reflection on what we would perceive as importance. Actually, the truth is that we honour one another because of who we are. We are part of a body, the church. And actually, it's a significant principle that we operate under, honouring one another. And Paul, when he speaks to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 says this: don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It's great advice, it's great words. The ESV translation puts it another way. It says this: love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another, showing honor. I was with two of my friends on Friday morning. We were praying together and we came across this verse as we were thinking, and we just contemplated for a moment what it looks like to outdo one another in terms of honor. How about a competition that says, how can we outdo one another in terms of honor? What does it look like to have over-the-top honoring of people? What does that look like? Well, in church, I've already said it's something that's important to us, but why don't we just take a moment to think what it looks like to honour the people who serve us in many different ways? What does it look like to honour the people who welcome us on a Sunday morning? How can we honour and celebrate and thank them? How can we honour those who people who serve us drinks after the meeting? Let's thank and honour those people who not just look after our kids, but they are people who are inputting in spiritually into the life of our kids. What does it look like to honour? Let's remember to honour and thank them. Let's thank and honour those people who watch over us as church in terms of the legal side of things. You know, we have, some of you will know, again, it's a serving role in the church that we don't talk about much on Sunday morning, but we have trustees who check, they take great joy and delight in looking after the policies which mean that we are legal. I was with them on Friday evening, and you wouldn't believe the celebration as we talked about some of the important legal policies. This is slightly tongue-in-cheek. But in fact, why do the trustees just wave? I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we have three of the four trustees here this morning, Elaine, Simon, and Gay. And the truth is that without people who watch over us as a body, as church, performing the legal aspects, then we could be in a mess, and we don't want to be in a mess. The other thing that's true is that they are always looking for people to help and support. So if when you heard me talk about policies, if that just you suddenly there was something in your heart that was burning and you said, I would like to be a part of that team as well, then please talk to Elaine. She will hug you. Yes, but not if you don't want to do, of course, yeah. Other people within church, of course, there's a huge list, and I'm not trying to cover everything this morning, but what does it look like to honour those of you in a life group? What it's to thank your life group leaders for the time that they spend in preparation, to honour them, those who help us in that way, people who look after us when we are not well, who care and support for us. What does it look like to honour and thank them? Why not email the worship team and say, thank you for helping me to come closer to God's presence this morning. And of course, there's lots of other areas, lots of things that are actually behind the scenes, people serving the church in all kinds of different ways. When people put events on, let's not forget to thank and honour them. And of course, living a life of honour isn't just going to be limited to when we are together as church. But what does living a life of honour look like where we are during the week? What about the people who serve us in restaurants or people who serve us at the checkout? Have you ever thought what it looks like to honour the people that you come into contact with, to be a blessing, to thank them, to encourage them? What a difference that it can make. We've talked this morning about what it looks like when we leave this place, the mud on our shoes, the fact that we've been in God's presence should be visible, should make a difference. And I believe it does. It's not that something that it's something that we are actively pursuing, but it's also something that God is doing within us. And of course, as we said, honor is given freely. It's not whether they deserve it or not, but what does it look like to honor the people around us just because of who they are or the position that they hold? Here's something that I think is really helpful. People either live down to your criticism or rise up to your honour. Have you ever thought that actually our actions could actually change the response of someone else. You suddenly see how this principle could actually work out in practice, that actually the things that we do just by honouring someone else could lift them to a new position. Our honour expresses or places value in others, which lifts them to new levels. So how about that? Anyone joining me this week, living a life of honour? Okay, the final principle is this. Honour God. Maybe the most important one, and maybe the others all flow out of it. Psalm 22 says, "Praise the Lord, all you fear him. Honour him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel." Honour God. I guess in our society, we'd all probably agree that our society is, in the main, is not one that now honours God. And at the start I said that one of the definitions of honour is to value something or someone highly. And that's why worship and adoration, as we have done this morning, is such a key part of living a life of honour. It's why it's our primary focus on a Sunday morning. We hope that as you come and as we come together, that we benefit from being together as people. We hope that you go home encouraged. We hope that you have a great conversation with someone. We hope that you feel welcome. We hope that you enjoy refreshments at the end. We hope our kids have a fun time, but also time learning and growing in their understanding of God. But actually, if you ask me what the first and primary reason for us being here is, it's an opportunity for us to gather and honour God and to worship him. So although I'm desperately keen for all those other things, the thing that I'm most concerned about on a Sunday morning is that we are people who honour God and put him first in our lives. And so if nothing else happens, then if we've got that one right, then I go home happy. And I don't know about you, a bit of an aside, but on a Sunday morning, what is it like when we look back on our Sunday morning meeting? Do we say to ourselves, that was really good, that was not so good? Or do we say, first and foremost, did we honour God? And if we were successful in that, then for my money, we were successful. And that's because, and we said this before in our worship, but if we see God and know God for who he is, then it follows that we should value him and therefore honour him in a way that is appropriate. We're not going to go into it this morning, but one of the principles of honour, if you look back right to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, there's the story of Cain and Abel and the offering that they brought. And it's a very interesting story if you go back and read it and reflect on it, but actually they both brought an offering. But God accepted one offering, he didn't accept the other. And the reason for that was because one of them brought an offering that was his first and best. And it's interesting, actually, God didn't ask them for an offering. It wasn't God's idea, but God said, if you are going to bring an offering, then this is an offering that is appropriate. And how many people know that God knows best? And that's why as church we want to do the things that God knows best. And there's a principle there in terms of honouring God that we bring our first and our best to him. And that's why it's part of, we do it with our finances. We also do it with the way that we've already talked about, that we live our lives. Years ago we used to sing a brilliant song that said, "Jesus shall take the highest honour. Jesus shall take the highest praise. All of heaven, all of earth, join in exalting the name which is above all other names." We never want to become familiar, do we, with Jesus. Jesus isn't just the big guy upstairs. Jesus is the soon to return, ruling, reigning, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. And when he returns, it will be with a sword. He's the righteous one who shed his blood so that we would live. So we are no longer common or ordinary, because as Christians we now bear his name in our hearts. We're so valuable to him that he paid for us with his blood. So therefore our appropriate response is to honour him with our lives. In Isaiah chapter 29, it says this, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Let's just say that won't be us. That won't be me, that won't be you. But we will be a generation that gives, that doesn't just give God lip service. Instead, we show him honor from our hearts. Why? Because it's a response for what he's done for us, but also because of who he is. So this morning, my hope is that I've painted a picture of what living a life of honor looks like. Something that we, yes, maybe we want to aspire to, but actually recognizing that God knows best. And if these are principles, I believe they are, the best ways for us to live, then it's going to work out well for us if we put these principles into our lives. And so this morning as we wrap up, let's maybe think about the things that we've spoken about this morning. Honoring father and mothers, honoring those in authority, whether we agree with them or not. Honor one another, those around us. That actually as God's people, that we choose to value one another, honor one another, serve one another, and recognizing that actually the value that we place, the same value that God places on us. And maybe that's what living a life of honor looks like. So we'll pause for a moment and reflect, and then I think we'll stand together and finish by honoring Jesus this morning.
So what does honour look like? Well, I'd like to just honour a good friend of mine this morning, Dennis. Because he's been a fantastic friend over the years. But I just feel actually God wants to honour you this morning. It's your birthday, but actually it's a special day to honour you and say the friendship you've shown me and my family has been incredible, the way you've stepped in at times. The way you've done things behind the scenes. There's things there that people will never know. And there's things you've done for people that people will never know. But God says, Dennis, I honor you this morning because you're a man of God. And you need honoring this morning. You need encouraging to keep going for it. That there's more to come. You haven't finished yet. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep pouring your prayers out for your family because that's very important. But also for the wider family, for the Gears, yes, and the Townsends, other people you've loved over the years. So we honour you this morning. And as I've honoured Dennis, I want to encourage you to do the same for the people you love, and the people around you, because they need it. They need the strength and the encouragement to keep on trusting in Jesus each day. Mm-hmm. So if there's somebody, be it a life group leader or a leader or a friend of yours who's done that for you, go out today and make sure you honour them.
Yeah.
And remember what Matt says. Honour is not a passive thing. You have to do something. You can't sit back. You have to do something. So even if you disagree with somebody, I fundamentally disagree with Donald Trump, but I've sent him an email and I've congratulated him to the White House. I've asked God to bless him.
Yeah, it's good.
But I've also said to him that he will be held to account for his actions. So in the honouring, yeah, I've also brought a bit of what godly perspective to that man. But it doesn't, you know, I fundamentally disagree with him, but I can still honour him and ask God to bless him.
Yeah.
So it's not a passive position.
No.
we have the opportunity to step out in a godly way and bring the grace of God to people. So let's do that today.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Nick. Thank you. That's great. Very helpful. Well, why don't we stand together? You know, we're always looking for the best way that we can respond to the things that God has spoken to us. And just with our eyes closed this morning, I'd like you to think of maybe the one thing that you know is your takeaway from this morning. Maybe there's two, maybe there's three, but maybe there's one thing where you're, you know, as Nick has just given us an example then, maybe there is one person or there's one attitude or there's one change that you need to put into place in your life. And again, don't forget, this is not because we're here about beating ourselves up or beating anyone else up. This is about us aligning ourselves with the best plan that God has for our lives. We want to be a spiritually healthy, growing church, and growing people are people who are changing to become more like God. So this morning, there's no condemnation, there's no shame, but there is an opportunity to respond to becoming the people that God's called us to be. So I'd like you just to take that thought for a moment. Maybe you just want to hold your hand up as a sign that you're clear on what it is that you're holding before God this morning. In this moment, you have the opportunity to make your own personal response to Jesus. For some of us, we are making an active decision to honor our parents. For some of us, we're looking at people in authority over us. We're choosing to honor them this morning. For others, there are people in our lives who we know that we need to honor. Maybe there's an encouragement this morning to track somebody down or find someone in our family or our friendship group. Maybe there's someone at the school gate that you just know in your heart that you've not had the right attitude towards. God, we respond to you this morning. God, we declare that as individuals, many of us are making choices to honor you and honor those around us, honor those in authority and over us. God, we're declaring as a body of people that we not only honor one another, but we honor you. You know that it's our intention, God, and forgive us for the times when we don't get it right. But this morning, our declaration as church is that we will be a people of promise who honor the living God. And as you make yourself known to us, God, we passionately want to honor you in the way that we live our lives, when we're together and when we're apart. And we'll be a group of people that when others look at them, they'll say, they don't get everything right. They're a broken bunch of people, but their heart is to honor God. And that's our prayer this morning, God. We choose to honor you. We choose to honor you. Let's finish our morning by celebrating and honouring God together. Those words of that old song, Jesus shall take the highest honour. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Why don't we just make some noise for a moment? Let's applaud God, our King. Let's celebrate and let's declare that we will honour Jesus. We honour you, Lord Jesus. We honour you, Jesus. We honour you, Jesus. We celebrate you. We give you our praise. We give you our thanks. We pour out our hearts to you, God. We honour you. We choose to honour you, God. We honour you, God. We honour you with all that we are. All that we are, we honour you, God. We honour you. All that we are, we bring our praise and our honour and our celebration, our thanks. You're worthy of our praise, God. We honour you. We honour you. We will be a people that honour the name of God. Jesus should take the highest honour. All glory, all honour, all power, all honour, all glory, all power belongs to you, God. We'll never stop singing. We'll never stop declaring the goodness of God. We'll never stop honouring you in these days in which we live. We honour you, God. We honour you. We serve you. We love you. We worship and we praise you. Jesus shall take the highest honour. All glory, all honour be to our God forever and ever and ever and ever. God, we love you. We worship you. Amen.